Just one word on the parasha, Rabotai. Of course, our parasha is the Aseret HaDibarot, the Ten Commandments. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know, he went to all the other nations first in order to give them right of first refusal. So first he went to Ishmael, Ophia Mehar Paran, and he told Bnei Ishmael, do you want the Torah? So Bnei Ishmael said, Ma Ketuv Ba? What's written in this Torah? Lo Tignov?
No.
La Ba'ina. We cannot. Yado Bakol. So they went to Esav. Went to Esav first, actually. Zarach B'Seir. He went to Seir, and he told Seir, Esav, he's interested in the Torah. We're giving out Torah. So Esav said, Ma Ketuba. Ma Ketuba, lo tirtzah. Lo tirtzah, la ba'ina. Not interested. He went to Amon and Moab. He's interested in the Torah. Yeah, why not? Ma Ketiba, what's written in the book? Lo tin'af, don't commit adultery. Tanaf, lo ba'ina. Hashem is Seir ba. He went to Seir. Ufiya me Har Paran. He went to Har Paran. That's Ishmael. Mezarach me Seir lamo. Ufiya me Har Paran. Ba'atam eribu bot kodesh. He came to Am Yisrael. And of course, when he came to Am Yisrael, so we accepted the Torah. So the Midrash says that the Goyim got jealous. Miyad nitkan'u a Goyim. The Goyim, they resented it. So they tell God, Man nishtanu elu mikol umot ha'olam. Why do they have a special status that you gave them the Torah and you didn't give us the Torah? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers the Goyim, Aviyu lefanai sefer yuhasim. Bring me the book of your lineage. Borei Olam was answering the Goyim and saying, listen, you have no right to be jealous. Why are we giving it to them and not you? Bring me Sefer Yuhasim. Bring me your family tree. Bring me your pedigree. Bring me your ancestors, where you come from. And then we'll talk. It seems that's the answer. We don't know what the answer is exactly. They have a resentment. They're jealous. So Borei Olam says, fine, go and bring me the tree of your family and then we'll discuss it. In order to understand this, there's a deep concept and a very important yesod in Yehadut. Shlomo HaMelech says, and we say it every day in the prayers, that's how important this pasuk is, ומותר האדם מן הבהמה עין. What does that mean? ומותר האדם מן הבהמה, שלמה המלך is comparing an Adam to a behemah. So he says, ומותר האדם מן הבהמה, the advantage, מותר means the advantage, ולשון יותר. The advantage that man has over an animal is nothing. There's nothing, there's no advantage. We wouldn't expect the wisest of all men to even make such an analogy. Forget about his conclusion. The conclusion that there's no difference between us and an animal is hard to understand. There's no difference between us and an animal. That's the wisest old man's conclusion. Unless Shlomo HaMelech meant something deeper than the surface. But what is he even comparing? What is he even comparing man to an animal? I only compare things that are similar. Bidiyuk, min bimino. I don't say there's no advantages over this cup of coffee and the chandelier. Akesha, what are you even comparing? Before you get to the concept that there's answer, whether there is a difference or not a difference, that doesn't even go. You're comparing Adam to Behema. Mutar Adam in a Behema ayin. So we said a very, very big hadush in order to understand this pesukim. You have to understand that human beings and animals do have something in common. And that is, what gives them life is the blood, is the dam. You make shaitan an animal, and the blood comes pouring out. The same red blood that if a person cuts himself, lo aleinu, will come out of his veins. So clearly there is similarities in the makeup of a man and an animal. The Gemara says, based on a pasuk, the pasuk says, ki hadamu ha-nefesh. What is nefesh? Nefesh represents a certain life of a person. It's called nefesh. And this part of life that's called nefesh is found in the blood. Ki hadamu ha-nefesh. And the part of nefesh is the part that contributes to the physical desires of a person. A person eats from the nefesh. A person gets married from the nefesh. A person grooms himself, wears nice clothes. All that comes from the nefesh. Humans have nefesh and animals have nefesh. So Shlomo is right. There are clear similarities between Adam and Behema. However, the Torah recognizes the danger of nefesh alone. Because nefesh alone is solely and purely animalistic. It's the physical drive of man. Maybe you heard once somebody say he's hot-blooded. Or if he's a murderer, they say he's in cold blood. They always talk about these things having to do with the dam. They call that the nefesh bahami, the animalistic side of person, of man. And that's why, incidentally, the Torah is very strict against eating blood of the animal. That's why we have to salt the pieces of meat, because the Torah is worried that by eating the blood of the animal, it'll attract us to the nature of the animal. It's enough that we have to contend with our own blood, let alone now to bring in more nefesh, more behema. So the Torah says you have to purify the meat from all the blood, because it'll bring to you to a bad teva. It'll bring you to a bad nature. So he's right, Shlomo HaMelech. Human beings and animals have really the same makeup. However, human beings have one added feature that animals don't have, and that's a neshama. Neshama is also something spiritual, as nefesh is. But the neshama is, like we say, tehora, elokai neshama shenatata bi tehora, ta berata, ta yisata, ta nefachta bi, vata mishamera bikin bi. The neshama is chelek elokami ma'al. The neshama comes from a very, very high place, mitat kisei kavod. So therefore, you see that humans exclusively have neshama, like it says when Adam Rishon was created, Vayipach be'apav neshmat ruach hayim. Now God also created animals, if you look in the Torah. Nowhere in the Torah does it say God blew into the animals neshmat ruach hayim.
So have nefesh hasn't got
neshama. Bediuk. Exactly. Like the pasuk says by the animals, nefesh haya. It calls the animals nefesh haya. But you'll never see the word neshama by a behema, because they don't have it. And that's a very big difference. Such a big difference that already it puts it as a different species. You see, when God created the world, He created the fish, and I said He created the behemoth, and then only after He created all the animal wildlife, then He created Adam. So you shouldn't make a mistake into thinking that Adam is just another stage in the development of animal. No, it's not. It's not that a human is just a little more sophisticated than an animal. A human is a different species. It's a min b'fnei atzmo. If you have, let's say, a phone, so you have two phones. So one is, you know, the iPhone 6, and one is the iPhone 6 Plus. Basically, so the 6 Plus is an upgrade of the 6. It's an offshoot of it. It's everything in the 6, and it has a couple extra, you know, items. We don't say, no, the iPhone 6 is a different animal. Different animal. It was not related. It had nothing to do with it. No, of course not. Of course not. We don't say that. Ella, what do we say? Oh, it's a little more sophisticated. It's a little more, whatever it is. Yeah, they add a little more features. We don't say that by a human being that he's just a little upgraded animal that has a couple more features. Animal doesn't, let's say, talk with language. Humans gave it. So they have a feature of talking. So it has a couple of nice add-ons on it. No, that's not the way we understand it. From the Torah, a human being is a b'riyah b'fnei atzma. He's a creature to his own species, and what separates is the neshama. The neshama is not just an added feature, but that already puts him in a different class. Understand? You'd say, oh, well, the iPhone 6 doesn't have a neshama, and the 6 Plus has a neshama. No, no, no. If it has a neshama, it doesn't have a neshama, it puts it in a different class. It's a different species. It's a different item. It's not considered, it's not related to anything. You know, it would be like saying, if somebody would come along and say, well, a human being basically is an upgraded tree. Well, the tree brings fruit, and the human being brings fruit. So you see, so basically they tinker around with the tree. You know, they added a nose, and put the ears, and they put a couple of, you know, some extra items. And they came up with a human, but a real human being, if you break him down to his lowest common denominator, you'll get down to the bark, and you'll get down to the, you know, to the leaves and the branches and all that. Of course, if somebody said anything, he's a tipesh. The Torah is not the first thing, forget about the Torah, it's not about the first thing about science. You want to make analogies between humans and trees, make analogies all day long. All day long make analogies, it doesn't bother them. The analogies. But don't come and tell me that a human being is an upgraded tree. That's not the case. Nor is he an upgraded animal. I'm saying this in many different ways, as you understand, because this is a topic that's a very big discussion today.
Where?
In academia, in schools, in places of higher or lower learning, they debate this topic. To the Goyim, this was an old debate. To the Goyim, they say that although an animal is an animal, but with proper training, you can train an animal to have human features. That's what they say. It's not an easy thing, obviously. And we're not talking about training a parrot to talk. They believe that you could train and change the nature of an animal to give the animal human characteristics. You can condition it. That's what they said. Harambam argued this vehemently. He believed that the nature of an animal is inborn. The nature of an animal is ingrained in it. It's something that's not changeable. It's something that's it's a second nature. It's a second nature that is encrypted in the DNA of an animal, the nefesh of an animal. So you cannot change it, he held. And when they went and they brought a proof to Harambam, they told Harambam, look, we could teach a cat to be a waiter. So they put the cat, they put a tuxedo on him and a bow tie, and they brought him into a restaurant and he's serving food. They told Harambam, you see, we trained him. He's better than the best waiters. And they're ordering, and they're ordering. And Harambam's watching in amazement. They trained the cat, but he knows it can't be. So he waits till the cat is bringing out the hot soup. And he takes out of his pocket a box. In the box is a mouse. And as the cat is about to serve the philosopher the soup, the Harambam releases the mouse. And the mouse goes on the floor, and the cat sees the mouse, spills the soup on the philosopher's head, and starts to chase the mouse. Harambam said, what happened to your waiter? What happened to all your training? Explanation is, it's a cat at the end of the day. And there's nothing that you're going to do to take that nature that the cat, when it sees a mouse, so you taught it some tricks. Yeah, tricks you could teach. But that you're going to make it to a state of sophistication that it's not going to chase, that's embedded inside of it. You cannot change that. You understand? Lamar says it's an animal. If you ever went to the circus, Barnum and Bailey Circus, it's a circus. So they have the lion tamers. So they show a guy come out with a whip, and he's riding the back of the lion like it's a horse. And he's in the cage alone with the lion. And people are watching and they say, well, this took us many years. And we've trained the most vicious of all animals that now it's basically docile. It's like a deer. And we turned it into a very passive animal that can get along with human beings. and they come along to show you how the animal is in changed. So the lion tamer sticks his head in the lion's mouth. Now, of course, 9 out of 10 times when you go to the show, the lion follows the order. But if you look at the history, there was times that when the lion tamer stuck his head in, the lion, he had Se'udah Shilishit and Melave Malka. V'achalta v'sabahta, v'lo berachta. He swallowed the guy. And all of a sudden, people think that's part of the show.
That's the best show they made.
And then the lights go out, and you hear the ambulances come on the stage, and that wasn't supposed to happen. And everybody can't believe it, but the lion is a human being. Why did the lion do that? They can't understand, because they were so brainwashed that you made the lion into a human being, so they can't understand how is that possible. Because it's a hoax. There's nothing that's going to stop the lion if the lion is hungry at that time. And the lion wants to eat the guy's head. There's nothing could stop that. Even the guy has the whip, and the guy's putting a light in his eye, the guy's doing all this stuff that they do to train it. He's going to eat him. You understand? That's what the Rambam was trying to say. At the end of the day, once you drop the mouse, the cat remembers he's a cat. And he goes back to the default mode. That's what it is. If you ever went to this aquarium, they brainwash you into thinking that the whale is really not a human being yet,
like almost,
but he's there. And they start to play Beethoven, and the whale starts to play, sing Beethoven. It's unbelievable. Look at that. Guy's thinking, my own kids can't sing Beethoven. And then there's this whale over singing Beethoven. And then they tell him, stand up, he stands up, sit down. And he follows instructions, incredible. The kids say, my kids are disobedient, and this whale over here, whatever you tell him, he does. And then they say, okay, now the whale's going to say good morning, and he waves his flap. Hey, good morning, goodbye, he waves goodbye. Incredible. Everybody's sitting there, and they're saying, listen, this is what we do over here. And it's so smart, and you don't know how smart it is. What a brain it has, look what it's doing, and that, fine, no problem. And all of a sudden, the whale turns around and eats the trainer in the middle of the show. It happened in Sequarium.
Is it?
It happened. The whale turned around and ate the trainer. Huh? Oh, the killer whales. All whales are killer whales. Them, the killer whales. Good killer whales. You believed what they said? They try to say, no, he's a nice guy. Look at the whale now. Look at him, Sadiq. Come, take a picture with him, touch his back, all that. Very nice. But guess what? The whale got hungry that day. Forgot all its training. No hakarat hatov to the trainer that trained it for 50 years. No recognition that you're in the middle of the public. You're embarrassing her. The people watching. Nothing. I'm hungry. And I'm not interested in these little fish over here anymore that you're throwing me every couple of seconds. I want to have a big fish now. All of a sudden, the whale came. Goodbye. There goes the trainer, there goes the show. And all of a sudden, everybody's crying.
Bad whale.
Yeah, bad whale. So you see here, Rabotai, again.
They put flour outside, light candles.
They say, Alei Shalom. We don't know what happened. We don't know what happened.
Killer whale.
We can't understand how the whale did this. It's such a sophisticated creature. We don't know what happened. We don't know. And they leave it as, para aduma, whale aduma. They don't understand. It's a hoax. Zot rokata Torah. Zot rokata hawel. They can't understand it. And we understand it already. It is not a hoax. It's a whale at the end of the day. I don't care how much Mozart it sings. And I don't care how much it waves to you. It's a whale at the end of the day. And therefore, you can't take that nature out of it. This is a very important yesod. But why are they so interested in doing this all the time? Why are they so interested in humanizing the animals and making this whole shkafa. Because basically what they want to say is that all you are is a little better whale. That's it. You're just better wired. But they always want to make the connection between the animal and the man, because once they already can establish in your brain of society that human beings descend from animals, so then already you have no control over yourself. Understand? So therefore it exonerates you from any responsibility. Because, what do you want? At the end of the day, I'm an animal. I told you once when I went on the train and I saw the sign for the Bronx Zoo. So you see a big picture of a gorilla. In a close-up shot, you could see up the gorilla's nostrils. It's the big, ugliest picture you ever saw. And it says, come to the Bronx Zoo and visit your relatives. So now what do you expect when somebody's on the train and he sees that picture and they're telling him, you see that gorilla, that's your relative. And underneath it says, is that you, Uncle Ernie? So they're telling you that's Uncle Ernie. Now when the abbot sees that on the train, that they're telling him, that's your uncle.
How do you want
him to be? So now you're asking, why does he stick his hand in the old lady's purse and grab the wallet? And you say, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is my uncle. This is where I learned it from. So when they're telling the people that go to the Bronx Zoo for a family reunion, and you're going to go meet up with old relatives, so matter the meeting of the family in the Bronx Zoo, so then what do you expect from society? So there's a very big danger in this hashkafa to start not making clear lines between the species, and therefore human beings think that they're animals. It's dangerous. I'll tell you more. And they admitted it already. And they admitted it, and I brought a proof from the Torah to this once. One of the early evolutionists, or the later evolutionists, doesn't matter. The early one's closer to a monkey, the later one's further from a monkey. That's only an upcoming now. But what did he say? He said, really, it's ludicrous, this opinion, that to say we came from monkeys, and that we came from chimpanzees and baboons. Why did we push this so strong? Because we wanted to be liberated sexually. We said, he's more there. Listen, we wanted to act like animals. We wanted to do what we wanted. We wanted to have a free society. So therefore, first we had to establish that we're animals, and then once you're an animal, you can have a party. Now already you can do whatever you want. You understand? What I'm teaching you today is hashkafa, I'm teaching you. So you don't fall for the for this type of thinking. Besides the inaccuracy, I didn't come today to talk about the inaccuracy of it. You know, last week there was a storm that came over here, and they have satellite pictures, and they have pictures on the screen, and they have Doppler, and they have everything, all the technology. Everything, they see it. They see a storm coming. They see it. There's nothing. Emunah, they see it. And they couldn't predict something that was going to happen in 10 hours from now. Forget about 10 hours. They couldn't predict 3 hours. 3 hours before they said it's going to be the biggest blizzard in the history of the America. They couldn't, and this with all the pictures and all the they couldn't predict 3 hours. And then it wasn't Stam a mistake. It was a blatant mistake of the highest order. Curfew? A curfew for what? For 3 inches of snow? That's how Hurricane Sandy, there wasn't a curfew, by the way. So by the way, if you remember, there was no curfew for Hurricane Sandy. But this, what am I telling you? So when you go to the Museum of Natural History and the tour guide says very confidently, 150 million years ago, hold it. You don't even able to predict what's going to happen in 3 hours. You're telling me now something that happened 150 million years ago and you say it with a straight face? Have you no shame on yourself? You know, busha? You're insulting my intelligence? You cannot predict a snowstorm 3 hours from now. And that's with technology. Here you have no pictures of 150 million years ago. There's no satellite. There's no nothing. And they say it like nothing 150 million years ago. Everybody says, oh yeah, 150 million. How do you know that? Oh, science. Oh, science. Oh, science. Kadosh, kadosh, science. Oh, stand up for science. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And all the jihash that are online over there.
Shaking
oh,
their heads.
Oh, yeah. She knows. She knows. She knows a lot. Look at that. 150 million years ago. She says it like that. And if somebody raises and says, how do you know it's not 151 million years? And once you get to those numbers, how do you know? Maybe it's 149. So they tell you, give or take 80 million years. Or give or take 80 million years. I hope that's not my accountant. Give or take 80 million years. Margin of error, 80 million years. Wow. That's a good one. And they come with accuracy, and they know they're talking. Yeah, well, you know, good margin of error, 50 million years. That's a lot of years to make an error. If a weatherman would come along and say, there's going to be a storm, give or take 3 weeks. 3 weeks? I don't know. I'm going to throw them off the thing. Let alone give or take 50 million years. Get your shovels. 50 million years, we might have a big storm. Give or take 2 feet. 0 to 2 feet. The whole thing is a shaker, but that's not. But that's not what I came today to discuss. That's in the parentheses to make the tzanut of the whole thing. Rabbi Diamond once went with Elon to Orlando, to Epcot, or to one of these things, and one of these Neanderthal men came out of the woodworks to give a tour of one of these Homo sapiens came out of the woodworks to give a tour of the evolution. And she says, 100 million years ago, 100 million. So Rabbi Diamond says, do me a favor, just tell us about the last 5,700 years. Start from 5,700 years. We're not interested in, we can't go that far back. Just give us the last 5,700. He didn't want the kids to get corrupted. We don't have to go all the way back. Just give us what happened the last 5,700 years. Anyway, so you see clearly, what was the reason why they came out to their views on evolution? A lot of it is because I'll say it nicely. The theory of evolution is not set in the head. The theory of evolution is created from the lower body. That's where the theory is created. Understand when I say the lower body? The theory of evolution is from the lower body, from the ta'avot. Understand? So once they have ta'avot, so they have to now create an ideology to justify the ta'avot. It doesn't start in the head and then go down. It starts down and goes up. Understand? It's to justify it. So you're a Behemah, you're a Behemah. Everybody's a Behemah. Everybody's a Behemah. So therefore,
what do you expect?
So what do you expect? What do you want from me? I'm a Behemah. Party. What time's the party tonight? Hey, see, even at the party, they're in cages. Behemoth. What's that? I like cages. Everybody's a Behemah. They're jumping around in cages. So now what happens? Rabotai, watch what happens. Watch what happens, Rabotai. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Watch what I'm telling you now. What does the pasuk say? Ve'lo taturu ahare levavchem v'hare enechem. The Gemara says, what is this? Don't get swayed after your heart and after your eyes. So the Gemara says, ahare enechem zeznut. Don't get after your eyes, that's zenut, that's immorality. Ahare levavchem zuminut. This is denial of God. Mean. I asked a simple question. Minut, if you ask the philosopher that's preaching godless philosophy, where is he preaching? He preaches it in his head, from his head. Shouldn't it say, velo taturu ahare roshchem? Don't go after the crooked Yeah, the Torah is telling you no. Crooked philosophy of denial of God doesn't start in the head. You know where it starts? It starts in the heart. And what's found in the heart? Ta'avot. Where does lust come from? The heart. Lotaturu ahare levavchem. It's giving you the source of where the philosophy comes from. Although they talk very intellectual, it's coming from here. Not coming from your head. So lotaturu ahare levavchem zu minut. Minut comes from the lev. If you're a good doctor, you're able to see where it's coming from. But he's saying things from his head. Oh yeah, he's saying it from his head. Didn't start from his head, but he has a yetzer hara in his heart that's pumping blood, and he wants to go after his blood. So therefore, he had to create a philosophy to justify what he wants to do in his heart. Understand? So the Torah is very, very wise. The Torah is, Ki ani Hashem Rofecha, God's a doctor. God says, I know how to make your prognosis. Check his heart out. His brain is crooked, but that's only secondary. That's only a result of the crooked heart that he has. An animal does not have the ability to resist his nature. If you have an elephant, and the elephant, they put food in front of him, he's hungry. Can the elephant say, I'm going to wait till 6 o'clock. I'm fasting today. I'm on a diet. I want to lose 3 pounds. Can the elephant have the ability to resist? Impossible. You put food in front of an elephant, he has to eat it. Does the elephant have the ability to say, you know what, let me give ma'asir to my friend. You ma'asir. So he leaves step as he does. Not only does he eat his own, but if he's still hungry, he'll eat his friend's food also. What's going to stop him? He eat his friend's. Very good. As your skin is both. So you see over here what? Does an animal have ability to resist his temptation? Of course not. A human being, however, is not an animal. Because we have one element that an animal doesn't have, and that's called the neshama. The neshama gives the person the ability to resist. I have no doubt everybody in this room, on Kippur, where we're the hungry, in Shat Neila, where we're very, very hungry, and somebody comes and puts in front of you a strawberry shortcake and a hot cup of coffee, and Shat Neila they put in front of you. No question. You're going to say, wow, I wish I could eat it. But everybody's going to say what?
Can't.
I'm going to go like this. I'm sorry. What? I cannot. Where do you get a power to do that from? An animal cannot do that. An animal does not come and say, ah, strawberry shop, Kippur, I'm not fasting today. I'm a Shovavim. Bahab. Of course not. Bahab, Shovavim, Tanit Dibur. The nature of the animal. And I have no doubt as well, every member over here, if they only had $1 in their pocket and they saved it to buy a cold drink on a hot day, and an ani came along and said, please, I need it, I didn't eat, we'd give the dollar. Does the animal have the ability to have compassion on somebody else like that? And the animal comes along and whispers in it, do me a favor, I know there's a meatloaf, I didn't eat today, I can have it, we need to get lost. Get lost before I eat you, like we said. Understand what I'm saying? A human being has the ability to regret his actions. Where does that come from? A person made avera. A person has a conscience to come along and feel guilty. And then to come along and regret it. And then say, hatati aviti pashati. There's a cat. When he gets 60 years old, the cat, does he become a Baal Teshuvah and say, look at all these mice I ate during my life. What mice I ate? I ate 6 million mice. Does he say hatati aviti pashati? Maybe when he's 18 he doesn't make teshuvah because he's in the height of his yetzer hara. At 60 years old, you have a cat making teshuvah? Why?
60 years, he eats a mice of the, on his deathbed. He's eating mice. Tell me, I bale. What are you eating those mice for? Don't you have no? You have no shame that you're eating all these mice all these years?
What shame? What do I do?
What do I do? What do I do? Okay. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's the teva. An animal is able to only follow his nature. An animal cannot say no because he doesn't have a neshama. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech meant. In Hebrew, the way you say yes is kin. The way you say no is either lo or ayin. Ayin is no. The pasuk says, "Umotar ha'adam min ha-behema." You know what the advantage over man over an animal is? Ayin, the ability to say no.
Ah,
wow!
Unbelievable.
That's the difference. Behema is a behema. Behema is a behema. Can't say no. If he's hungry, he's going to eat. If he wants a kid, if the lion wants to eat the tame, he's going to eat him. They tell him, hey, resist. I can't remember how we resist. But resist. Where's resist come from? He's only blood. And why is that? Because we have a neshama. Ayin Rashi Tevot, Adam, yesh neshama. Umotar Adam and a behema. Ayin. Adam, yesh neshama. Finish. So that's all the difference in the world. Oh, once you understand that, I'm going to tell you a big hadush. It's not maybe politically correct. Maybe I won't get elected state senator after this. But what does it mean when God went to the Goyim and said, do you want the Torah? And they come along and say, Makatubba. Makatubba? Ah, Makatubba. Lotirtzah. Ah, Lotirtzah. We're not interested. What do you mean you're not interested? The law of the land in America is Lo Tirtzah. Lo Tirtzah. If they would have told them, listen, no cheeseburgers. Ah, cheeseburgers. We can't. No McDonald's, man. No more McDonald's. We can't. No cheeseburgers. That I understand. But they refused it for something that they do anyway. Lo tignov. It's on every law book in the world as Lo tignov. If God would have told him, listen, you want the Torah? Yeah, you have to keep Shabbat. No, we can't. One day work, one day don't go to work. It's impossible. We're not interested. We want to make money. I understand it. No problem. Because they go to work. But they bowed out from receiving the Torah for things that they themselves have on the law books. No, the explanation is, what does the Torah say? Torah says, Shivu lechem poim hachamor. Gemara says, Ama dome lachamor. What does it mean, Ama dome lachamor? You thought it just saying, goyim, hachamorim. Ama dome lachamor. Ama dome lachamor means, that's the nature. The nature is the nature. A Yehudi has a neshama. Ama dome lachamor doesn't have neshama. And therefore, you could train it not to kill. Like you could train a cat. And you could train the whale. But at the end of the day, the nature is the nature. And eventually, the nature will come out. You understand? The German was a well-trained cat. He walked around, they taught him how to stand on 2 feet, they taught him how to say good morning, and, well, look at this German, he talks. He says, good afternoon, he has, look at that. But once they took the mouse out of the box, finished, he could not control him. You understand what I'm telling you? That's the Amad Dome Lachamor. One of the great rabbis said, you have to give a lot of hakarat hatov to the NBA and to the NFL and to the NHL, all the Rashi Tevot. All of organized sports. That why? It's because it keeps the goyim busy on Sunday afternoons. Otherwise, we would be their sport. If they all weren't watching, the kadurim, we would be the football. We would be the basketball. They'd be bouncing us. Oh, you asked a good question. I'm going to answer you. You're right. You're making the proper connection. I'll answer you. You see what I'm telling you about time? So when they came along and they said, God, you're giving us a book. Lo Tirtza we could do for 1 week, 1 month, 1 year. But you're telling us, Lo Tirtza, never eat the lion tamer? We can't. You're asking us, you're giving us delicious wine, but there's a hole in the candy. We cannot accept such a thing. So when they came along and they said to God, why are you giving it to them? God says, look at their lineage. They come from Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Where's your lineage? Amad Domela Hamor, what's your lineage? It's not Shayach for you. Not only is it cheeseburger, even Lo Tirtza. This is a very, very scary thing. That means, now you understand when the Ya'bet said to him, the greatest miracle is that the Jewish people are able to live around 70 wolves. Which means really, they want to kill us. Why aren't they? They're distracted. They're distracted. Today you see what it means, the behemoth of an Adam. You see what they're doing to you. You see what they're doing. You see what they're doing.
Like the idea
you see what they're doing. To the level of barbarism. And the other ones say, wow, that's a, what is this here? What is this here? Right, so it's just degrees. What's the degrees? The Japanese guy screamed, hey, look what they did. Twice, beheading! Yeah, but Mr. Japanese, anytime a girl is born in Japan, they take the girl and they throw in the water. Because they're only allowed to have one kid. And they want it to be a boy. What's the difference? No, that's this running out of like that, I don't understand. It's a baby, whatever, it's a girl. It's a girl, this is a boy.
Yeah, good point.
This is a boy. I'll tell you the big difference. So you see, everybody just has their degree of what level of barbarism is tolerable. Now we have the ability to resist. Not just because we have the ability doesn't mean we resist. I'll show you a lot of Yehudim that unfortunately they don't resist. Okay, no problem. They have it right. I'll show you a lot of Yehudim that conscience can even be more cruel than the biggest behemoth. But they have the ability to overcome it. Motar Adam and Abema Ayin. Adam has the ability to say no. Adam Yesh Neshama. That's a very big principle. So therefore, the Goyim that we cannot accept Lo Tirtza, Lo Tin'av. It's in our genome. It's encrypted in us. Tell a cat not to chase a mouse. The hadush of a ger is ger shenit gayer ke katan shenolad dam. It's a different creature. Something happens at gerut when he comes out of the mikveh. God blows into menu neshama. He's a different person. That's an amazing thing. Yeah, he looks the same. He talks the same. His voice didn't change. He doesn't come out talking Yiddish when he comes out of the mikveh. He comes out of the mikveh, the same guy. He's talking Spanish, whatever he was talking before. You understand? When the guy comes out of the mikveh, he doesn't have blonde hair, blue eyes. He doesn't become an Ashkenaz when he comes out of the mikveh. If the guy went into the mikveh, he's speaking Spanish with dark skin. He comes out of the mikveh speaking Spanish with dark skin. But what's the difference? If you look at the inside and do a sonogram on him, he has an neshamana. Something happened. He's not the same person. He's kekatan shenolad. It's like he was just born. So you're right. It's not the same person. Before they didn't have a neshama. Now he has neshama. No. Nefesh. We have neshama. That's a big difference. A big difference. They don't have all the parts that we have. Now, somebody might come along, and I'll conclude with this, and say, Yeah. What you're saying is exactly what the Aryans said. The Aryan race said the same thing. Shebacharbanu, chosen people, and we're special, and we're this, and we're Hadi. Is it analogous, Asher Baharbanu Mikol Amin, to the Aryan race? It's not analogous, for two reasons. Our Asher Baharbanu Mikol Amin obligates us. When they said that they're part of the Aryan race, that gave them a license to kill. Do you understand the difference? We don't say we're chosen, therefore we can abuse people. We don't say we're chosen, therefore we can get away with murder and we can do whatever we want because we're chosen. On the contrary, we say, since we're chosen, we have to live on a higher order. That's the first difference. The second difference is, in the Aryan race, if somebody came from a different race and said, I want to join the club, what did they tell them? Not only you can't join the club, but we're going to kill you because you're not part of the club.
Yep.
That's what they said. We say, if somebody comes and says, I want to join the club of special people, what do we tell them? Baruch Abba. Here's the book. Go study the book.
You're sincere.
You're a sincere guy. You're really interested. Here's the book. Go to the mikveh. And the Baruch Abba. Everybody can join the special status. Is that racist? We're giving everybody the opportunity to become whatever we say we are? Aryans didn't give you that option. Somebody came who was a non-Aryan and said, I want in. For all the money in the world, we're not going to let you in. Even though you lived in Germany for 50 years, but your great-great-grandfather was not Aryan, we didn't want you in. That's already a different philosophy. The lesson for us is over here. Nobody should ever think that they can't. Somebody tells me, Rabbi, I can't wake up in the morning. No, you don't want to wake up in the morning. That's no problem. You don't want. But you can't, cannot. You're not an animal. An animal can't. A human can. Don't tell me, Rabbi, but I have this big desire and I can't overcome it. No, you're lazy. You don't want to overcome it. No problem. But don't tell me you can't overcome it. Adam yesh neshama. And you have to be careful when you say, I can't. Because when you say you can't, what you're really saying is God can't. Because the neshama is from God. So be careful when you say you can't. Understand? When a person comes along and says, I can't, it's impossible. Ah, something's impossible for God? I'm not telling you to overcome it from your blood. I agree. Your nefesh, you'll never be able to overcome it from the nefesh. I'm telling you from the neshama to overcome it. You tell me the neshama can't even overcome it? You're limiting God's power? You're limiting God's influence? So that's very encouraging. It's encouraging to the addict. It's encouraging to the lazy man. It's encouraging to anybody that has weaknesses in anything. You could fix yourself. And you could metamorphosize yourself. And you could change yourself. And you could be a different person. One rabbi said, if a ger who is not Jewish and goes to the mikveh, and he comes out Jewish, could you imagine when somebody's Jewish goes into the mikveh and he comes out? If the mikveh could turn a goy to a Jew, could you imagine what the mikveh could do to somebody who's already Jewish? Which means the person has the ability to change himself. The person has the ability to... And that's why they said, we cannot accept it. So God said, bring me a lineage. Who's the lineage? Uncle Ernie. Say, Uncle Ernie. So you bring me Uncle Ernie as the lineage. And then you ask me, why I can't give you a daughter? Baruch Adonai.